Okay, good. Without that second part, we'd have been a little deficient. Something that had not been revealed up until a certain point of time, but then it is revealed. Greek word mysterion. It's related to another Greek word that one of the books of the Bible is named. Hint, it's the last book in the Bible. Revelation, what's the Greek word? Apocalypse, apocalypsis, what does it mean? It means an unveiling, something that had been hidden, but now it's unveiled and we can see it. The words are related. Okay, in the first bullet last time we got together, we talked about the mystery of the union of Jew and Gentile together in one body in Christ. That was never known before Paul reveals it in his writings. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 6 deals with another facet of this union in Christ and its fellow heirship. Let's go ahead and read the verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 6. We'll read verse number 5 so we can pick up the context. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we have something here that the Old Testament saints didn't know anything about. As a matter of fact, the disciples, the original 12, didn't know anything about this. And they didn't know it even after Pentecost until the Apostle Paul was commissioned of the Lord to teach the church what the church is all about. So it was a mystery up until that point. And God had always purposed to do this, but we didn't know anything about it until we're told in the Word of God. Now, there's a word in verse number 6, fellow heirs. What is an heir? A what? Someone who inherits an inheritance. Sure. Well, then what are fellow heirs? That's right. A couple of them. That's an excellent answer. A bunch of them together. Well, what are we talking about inheriting here? In verse number 6, the mystery that's revealed is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Well, what are the Gentiles going to receive? And who are they fellows with? Yes, but there's something else here. And it relates to the first bullet. The Jews. Jews and Gentiles are to be fellow heirs. Well, that's good. And of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So, not only are the Jews and the Gentiles going to be put together in worship, where they come together in an assembly and they worship God together, but they're going to be members of a same body. Well, what body is being talked about here? The church. The church is a body. It's not a building. It's not a creed. It's not even a system of doctrine. But it's a body. Let's go to Ephesians 2:11. Ephesians 2:11. Let's talk about this for a little while tonight. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, when a Jew would read this, you could knock him over with a feather. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple of verses up here, and if time permits, we'll go look at those. And they deal with the great animosity that existed in the time of the Lord between Jews and Gentiles. And by the way, that animosity, fortunately, has gone away and disappeared today. And doesn't that make you feel good? Or am I confused? No, it's worse today than it ever was before. Can you tell me who the only true friends that Israel has in the world are? Okay. Somebody else said something else too. Christians! That's right. Christians. Real, born again believers are the only real friends that the Israelites have in all of the world. Who do they despise the most? Go figure. Go figure. So the animosity is not gone. Nonetheless, let's undertake now to look through the passage of Scripture that we just read and see what nuggets that we can mine out of here that'll be a blessing to our souls. Verse number 11, wherefore remember. Who's he talking to? Who is he telling to remember? Pardon? The Christians at Ephesus, of what ethnic extraction were they? Pardon? Gentiles, specifically Greeks. The worst kind. Just kidding. They're Gentiles. Why would Paul tell the Gentiles to remember? You don't suppose he wants us to remember where we came from, do you? You know, that's a great failing of the church today. We are so busy entertaining ourselves and having a party that we forget where we came from. It's all about us now. No, it isn't. It's still all about Christ. Wherefore remember, you Gentiles, that ye being in past time Gentiles. Why does he say in past time Gentiles? Weren't they still Gentiles? There are three classifications of people in this world. Not good, bad, and indifferent either. Okay, what are the three groups? Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. Church of God made up of both ex-Jews and ex-Gentiles, right? Okay, that's why he says in time past. In other words, he's saying, you guys are saved. He's talking to Christians. And Christians ought to remember something. That we were in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands. What's all that business about? Uncircumcision and circumcision. Okay, so what circumcision got to do with anything? Why is it an issue? Why? Okay, there's something greater than the law. The law encompasses a bigger thought. The law was a part of this bigger thought. You find it in verse number 12 with the word commonwealth. There's something bigger here. Circumcision made you a part of a covenant. The children of Israel were in a covenant relationship with God. And that was the outward seal of that covenant. So, Paul is saying you Gentiles or ex-Gentiles need to remember something. You know, there was a time when you were called the uncircumcision, in other words, outside the covenant by those that were inside the covenant. Don't forget that. And then verse number 12, he says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I think that each and every one of us here tonight as individuals had ought to be thinking about this. Unless, of course, you were born saved. No, if you were born saved, you wouldn't have to get born again, would you? That's where the again comes in. That's really something. Let's read it again. Paul says, remember something now, that at that time ye were without Christ. What does that fall out to? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What is a commonwealth? Sometimes Canada is called a commonwealth of the British Empire. What is... Okay, that's its political subdivision. No, it has more of a thought of unity than it does independence. Commonwealth. Just think about the two words. People that share in a common wealth. I suppose the Canadians are waiting for a check from the Brits. I'll let you know if it shows up. A commonwealth. What is the commonwealth of Israel? Because the scripture uses the word in that way. He said, remember, you Gentiles, there was a time when you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What is the commonwealth of Israel? You're right. What else? God is right too, but I'm looking for... Sure! See, the sentence doesn't end there. There's a comma. And strangers from the covenants of promise. What are these covenants of promise? That's what the commonwealth is. The covenants of promise. So what are the covenants of promise? All right, that he would make of Israel a great nation, but there's more. Yeah, where did that come in? How did that get into the commonwealth of Israel? Justification by faith. That's right. Abraham believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. Sure. How about some other things? Covenants of promise. Justification by faith. Isn't it too bad that the children of Israel had forgotten that? And they denied their own Messiah? That's sad. But it's still part of the covenant of promise. What else is part of the covenant of promise? Let's talk about the Abrahamic covenant since Abraham came up. What is the Abrahamic covenant all about? Oh, yes, not seeds as of many, but seed, singular. What does the name Abraham mean? Father of many. Father of many nations. What does Abram mean? That was his name before. Son of his father. He was pretty limited. But God made him Abraham, the father of many nations. That's part of that Abrahamic covenant. By the way, was the Abrahamic covenant a conditional covenant or an unconditional covenant? Pardon? How so? Where was Abraham? Yeah, he was asleep. He must have been a Baptist. Just kidding. He was there, but he was asleep. He was in a deep sleep. God ratified the covenant himself. He swore by himself when he could swear by no greater. Hey, this is good stuff, because some of the parts of the covenants of Israel were conditional, weren't they? Like the law. Uh-oh. Now, we'll deal with the law a little bit further on down the page here. Okay, verse number 12 again. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, where would that leave you? Well, having no hope and without God in the world. Sometimes we fail to remember this, don't we? Wow. Verse number 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by... When I stop like that, that means I want you to read the rest. The blood of Christ. That's the only way that we're made nigh. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For he is our peace. That implies that there's more than one party. Who hath made both one. Both implies that there's more than one party. Hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This implies that there's more than one party. Who are the parties? The Gentiles and the Jews that are going to be made one body in Christ. See how he keeps coming back to this? Over and over we're taught this lesson. This was so repugnant to the Jews. And you know it was repugnant to the Gentiles too. In all honesty, the Gentiles had lost no love for the Jews either. Pontius Pilate is often reviled. But how would you like to have been in his shoes? What an unruly bunch that Caesar had sent him down there to rule over. It wasn't easy, you know. Pilate had very few good days. I'm sure they made sure of that. Verse number 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Well, what is enmity? Enmity? What is that? Strong dislike. What's another word for really, really strong dislike? Hate. Yeah. That's right. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, what in the world is that? The law of commandments contained in ordinances. As a matter of fact, those commandments that were contrary to us. You see, the Jews were given the law, but my, how they had a problem with the law. Did the Jews keep the law? No. I would venture to say not even partially. Because if you offend in one point, you're guilty of how much? All. What about the Gentiles? They were never given the law in the first place, were they? Almost like a free ride. Why did God give the Jews the law? To convict them. Well, it should have worked, but it didn't. What does the New Testament say the purpose of the law was? To lead them to Christ. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Okay. The Jews had a couple of opportunities to say, wait a minute, we don't want any part of this covenant. Once at Mount Sinai, Moses comes down with the two tables of the law written by the very finger of God. If they'd have been reasonable, rational people, say Baptists, what would they have said? Yeah, exactly right. You might as well just kill us all now, because there ain't no way we can do this. Oh, God, be merciful to us, a bunch of sinners. That's what they should have done. God gives them a second chance. We talked about this in questions and answers tonight. Where did the second chance come? Just to see if they might change their mind. Do you know where the second chance came? You guys that were in questions and answers should know this. I'm sorry. Okay. What was the particular venue? It has a name. It's a sermon. The Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Christ reiterating the law to the nation of Israel. Gentiles need not apply. What did they do? In their pride and their arrogance, they blew him off, just like they did the first time. It was not a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. Wouldn't it be good if we as Christians understood that one of the ways that he put us together in one is that he got rid of these ordinances that were contrary to us, having slain the ordinances and nailed them to his cross. Look at verse number 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. This is good stuff, folks. And came and preached peace, verse 17, to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Well, who is this? Who's the afar off and them that were not? Okay. How do you know that? Sure they were. They were far away. And the ones that were near, he didn't get any closer than being an Israelite. He came unto his own. Amen? But his own received him not. Look at verse number 18. For through him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Wow. Do you see something added here? I see some value added. For the Jews, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, so far we've been talking about all the privileges of the commonwealth of Israel. Those covenants that gave blessings to the commonwealth of Israel. But we see something more here in verse number 18. For through him, Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, X, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Something new has been added that was never in those covenants dealing with Israel. What is it? The Spirit. Absolutely. What did the Holy Spirit do in Old Testament times as pertaining to men? He came and went. He came upon both Jews and Gentiles, didn't he? If Balaam is any example. Absolutely. What's different about now? And that's what Paul is telling us. Wherefore, remember, don't forget this. He does not leave us. Not only that, he gives us access to God by the Spirit. How did an Israelite who had all of these covenants that we talked about a moment ago get access to God? Most Israelites never talked to the high priest. They talked to his lieutenants. That's right. They had to approach through a human intermediary. If they wanted to make an atonement for their souls, they had to bring a sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle, but then it got handed off to the priest, and that was as close as they ever got. We have something that's wonderful. The Jews got something that was a lot more than what they had, because a Jew who becomes a Christian now has access to God the Father by the Spirit. The Gentiles never had anything close to this before. These are wonderful things. Verse number 19. Now therefore, when you see a therefore, what should you do? See what it's there for. What is it there for? Sure, because all of these things that we just got done talking about are going to fall out to a result. So now we're going to move on to what the result is. Verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let's talk about this for a moment. What does it mean to be fellow citizens with the saints? What is a fellow citizen? Sure. And more than that, and of the household of God. What does that mean? Here the Jews are getting value added too. Sure. But how does it differ from what they had under the system of the nation of Israel? What are the Jews getting that they didn't have before? Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. To be part of the household of God. So the Jews got something out of this too, didn't they, that they did not have before? They were no more than servants. Unprofitable ones at that. Now they're part of the household of God, but what about we Gentiles who had nothing coming? What a jump the Gentiles have made here in Christ. That's why Paul is telling us, don't forget these things. Beloved, we need to think about these things, because worshiping the Lord is not lifting your hands up while some rock band is playing and uttering some sort of ecstatic gibberish. That's not worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord is reading His Word and saying, wow, Lord, thank You for what You did for us. That's what worshiping the Lord is. Verse number 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. As if all of the stuff that we've already talked about weren't enough, now we come to this. Wow. What does this mean? In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I can't believe nobody's shouting amen. What does it mean? Maybe when we talk about what it means, somebody will say amen. By the way, what does it mean? Yeah, that's exactly what it says. Do you realize that God's only dwelt in a couple of places with the children of men? Where was the first? Garden of Eden. He dwelt in a theophany. He came down and walked in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. That was nice. But it was a stranger dropping in the afternoon. Somebody said tabernacle. What tabernacle? Okay, the tabernacle in the wilderness, I presume? Okay, how did he dwell in the tabernacle in the wilderness? He dwelt in a cloud, the Shekinah glory. Where was the Shekinah glory? Between the cherubims, above the mercy seat, right out where everybody could touch it. In the Holy of Holies. What was between you and the Holy of Holies? Okay, what was it called? The Holy Place. You're still not out to where you are. What was between you and the holy place? The labor. What was between you and the labor? Okay. What was between you and the court? The brazen altar. What was between you and the brazen altar? The priest. Man, you're a long way from God. Yeah, he was there, but you weren't going to see him. Now where does he dwell? In where? Us. He dwells within the temple of our body. We have the most intimate communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why, an Israelite wouldn't have dared to dream of such things. This is wonderful stuff. And it was all a mystery before Paul began to reveal it to us. Okay. I'm not going to read these two scriptures, but just by way of explanation, they are dealing with the hatred that was between Israel and the Gentiles that Christ overcame. And one of them is the story of the Syrophoenician woman. Can you tell me what the story is? If you convince me, then I'll move on. The Syrophoenician woman. No, that's different. She was at least partly Jewish. She was a woman of Samaria. She was grievously vexed with the devil, but she hadn't died. Syrophoenician. What is a Phoenician? They had another name in the scriptures, too. Philistine. Sea peoples. Man, you don't get any further from an Israelite than that lot. Jesus left not only Judea, but Galilee, and went up into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, remember? Now he's outside the whole land of Israel. This is Gentile territory. He's in Lebanon. And he meets this woman. And he's got his disciples with him. What happens? She asked for help, but she asked in a very specific way. How did she ask for help? She did. But how did she do it? How does she address Christ? That's what I'm driving at. Yes, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, help me. What was his answer? Okay, but something else, even more pointed than that. It's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Boy, that's in your face. He was testing her faith, right? Or is there something else in view? Yeah. That's very perceptive. He knew exactly what she was going to do. Oh, I haven't seen such great faith as this. No, not in all of Israel. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And can you imagine what those disciples were thinking? Remember when he went to Samaria? Samaria was a halfway house between the Jew and the Gentile. At least they were partly Jewish. What's he doing talking to this woman? He's gone out to Tyre and Sidon now. They weren't even half Jewish, but they were all Gentile. And yet that woman knew something. Lord, thou son of David. That question came up in questions and answers. Were there Gentiles that knew about God before the church? Mm-hmm. Yes, there were. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Lord Jesus Christ overcame all of that and put us together in one body and gave us blessings that nobody, even if they were perceptive Jews, would ever have suspected. Do you realize that none of the Old Testament prophets, pick anyone you like, anyone you like, none of the Old Testament prophets ever saw this, what we talked about tonight. It was kept secret from them. Look at verse number 5 in the next chapter, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. These are wonderful, wonderful things. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we read this and it dawns upon our soul how far away we were as being in past time Gentiles, being aliens from the promises, having no hope and without you in this world. And yet because of what you did for us, dear Lord, because you were willing to be obedient and to come and to die on the cross, and to send forth your disciples, and especially the Apostle Paul. And you wrote these things to us, and we look at them and behold them. And our hearts are filled and lifted up to you. And Lord, we do worship you, and we do thank you for what you did. For Lord, outside of you, we would have had no hope whatsoever. And Lord, now as we talk about the fact that Christians are the only friends that the Israelites have, it would do well for us to remember that you made a promise to Abraham that whoever blessed Israel, you would bless, and whoever cursed Israel, you would curse. And we know that we're living in very dangerous times now when many of the major denominations have cursed Israel and they've openly joined the Palestinians. Lord, we ought not to forget where we came from, and we ought not to forget your word, and we ought to remain true to them, even though, Lord, they despise us, and they look upon us as being foolish people, because we believe in the Messiah that they rejected. Yet, Lord, through all their blindness, you told us to be faithful to them. Lord, give us that strength. Help us to be faithful ministers of your word, that some of them might by any means be saved. And Lord, now as we go our ways, a new week having begun, I pray that you bless us in the way that we go. And Lord, create in us a desire to draw closer to you, to know more of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.